The latest report from the Kansas City Regional Association of Realtors suggests that the average home price is up 15% from a year ago. On the other hand, 4% of homes currently on the market are in foreclosure. This begs a number of questions. How has the real estate market changed? Is it easier to get a home mortgage now? And who's buying and selling and even building during this period? Is the process of buying a home different? Is there more down payment required? Do you have to have stronger credit? And also, recently, property values have increased in Jackson County. How does this affect the market? This is Central Standard, and I'm Susan Wilson. And today we'll begin Central Standard with a look at Kansas City's housing market, which has shown improvement after the recession, dropping property values, and unsold inventory. So today we're joined with Kansas City realtor Mary Hutchison. Mary, thank you for joining us on Central Standard.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we also have with us this morning Mike Cash, who's a senior loan officer at A1 Mortgage. Mike, welcome this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
So I guess I'd like to start off just asking, give us a very brief snapshot of the Kansas City housing market right now.
Well, the market actually has improved since last year. I think pretty much everyone knows during the recession, prices plummeted overall in the area. And we've seen a great rebound. As you mentioned, Susan, year-to-date, the Kansas City metro area is up about 7.4%. Jackson and Johnson County, average sales prices are way up. And the entire five-county metro area is showing strength. So homeowners are happy to see that. They have more equity in their house. And I think it also pays off for buyers because they can buy with confidence knowing that prices are going up instead of down.
Well, now that begs another question. People always say that Kansas City is recession-proof, and you talked about plummeting prices during the recession, but did our prices plummet as much as other parts of the country?
No, they did not. Compared to states like Florida, California, and Arizona, they did not take as much of a plunge. But even those states are seeing a big increase. I think, as you probably heard the phrase, when the bubble burst back in the 2007, 2006, 2005 years, prices are rising very, very fast. And personally, I feel we had a correction of sorts. They were rising just too much. Now the prices are on the upswing, but not quite as fast as they were during those boom years.
Well, you know, my realtor friends talk about, wow, this is great. You know, the market is just going to get better and better. But, you know, is this really realistic? And do we have to be concerned about another housing bubble that then bursts if prices get a little too high?
I think no matter what type of market you're in, when you're a home buyer or a home seller, you have to really look at the location of your house, the condition of the house that you're purchasing, and how long are you going to be in that house? If you buy a house today and you decided to sell it a year from now, you may not reap, you may not have a profit, should we say, and when you sell your house. But for a long-term investment, yes, I do think you will definitely get your money out of it, especially if you keep it up.
Now, Mike, you know, for a while there during the recession, especially, you know, toward the end, mortgages were really, really hard to come by because, of course, they really tightened up on requirements and credit scores and things. Is that still the case, or have things kind of loosened up?
The banks have actually loosened up a little bit on the guidelines. The credit scores that they allow now, the lowest score typically is about a 620, and prior to that it was a 580. But the banks if you're credit worthy, they're a lot more forgiving on some things.
Well, I know part of the getting a loan process is getting an appraisal. And of course, in Jackson County, their assessments of property values went up recently. So is this going to affect homeowners as well as buyers and sellers in terms of loan-to-value issues?
With the values going up, it does make it a lot easier for buyers and for people to refinance because they are gaining more equity, and the banks again are real estate or mortgages are all risk based. So the better position the banks can be in, or the better position they feel they can be in, the more they're willing to lend.
So what about the difference right now in terms of new homes versus existing homes? Because I know for a while there we had a large inventory of existing homes. What does that look like at this point?
You're asking me or?
Well, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. From a lender standpoint, the only thing that they're really looking at is the value. And when they do an appraisal, they'll do a market research, and and look at the time on market, I guess. So I'm probably not the best person to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Mary, what say you about this?
Well, when the housing market crashed in the fall of 2008, builders were stuck with quite a bit of unsold inventory, and there was fire sales. Now, since the market has improved, a lot of the builders don't have finished homes ready to go. So that if you're in the market for a home, let's say you put your house on the market June 1st, and it sells in 2 weeks, and you want to buy a brand new home. Well, if your brand new home isn't already constructed, you typically have to wait 3, 4, 5, 6 months for your new home to be built. So what we're seeing is homes are selling quickly, and for those people who want to buy new construction, they're actually having to wait until their new home is finished, because the builders, I think, were a little bit caught by surprise and haven't built as many what they call spec homes ready for the buyers.
And, of course, I'm sure they did that because they don't want the risk of having inventory that they can't sell.
Correct.
For people who might not know, what is a spec home?
Well, a spec home is a home that a builder builds on spec. In other words, he doesn't have an order or a sales contract on that particular home. He just builds it, and then we'll go out and find a buyer.
So people can kind of see what one of his homes would look like,
mm-hmm.
often
mm-hmm.
Used on the home tours.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the other thing that people wonder about right now is this a good time to sell a home, and how much improvement should you do to it? Because I know when there were too many homes on the market, a lot of home sellers were really sprucing up their homes, spending a lot of money doing that, because I remember a friend who, one of the buyers said that they didn't like the home because the patio furniture was tacky. Whereas now people aren't having to spend as much money fixing up a home. Is that true?
Well, that's actually a funny story, because you can change patio furniture, but you can't change a floor plan. Actually, no matter what market you're in, whether the market is strong or not strong, as a seller, you should always make your house look as clean and as updated as you possibly can. Buyers today watch a lot of HGTV, and they expect homes to look, as we call it, HGTV ready. And often, if a seller puts, depending on the amount, maybe $1,000 or $2,000 worth of improvements in their home, whether it be landscaping or countertops or fresh paint, they will get that money back with a higher sales price, especially in today's market when there's so much demand.
So in terms of pricing for sale these days, what does that look like? Because I know the market right now is in transition, and so there's always a question from sellers, you know, how should I price my house to be competitive?
Sellers today, I think some of them are actually pushing the prices because there is quite a bit of demand. So they're thinking, well, why not? Let's price it a little bit higher and see if we can get it. When you're a seller and you're working with your realtor, you will see the prices of other homes in your particular area with the same features and what they have sold for. And it's also a good idea to keep up with a competition because you know that a buyer is not just looking at your house. They could be looking at five or six other houses in that general area. If you price it right, if it's updated, if it shows well, if it's in a good location, you could very well get multiple offers.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm Susan Wilson, and we're talking about the real estate market in Kansas City with realtor Mary Hutchinson and also talking with Mike Cash, senior loan officer at A1 Mortgage. What about you, Kansas City? Are you in the market for a home? Have you been trying to buy or sell something lately? And what's been your experience? Join the conversation by calling us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Now, Mike, what in terms of the whole loan process right now, there are, as we mentioned, homes that are in the foreclosure mode. Do buyers have to follow a different process in terms of seeking a loan when a home is foreclosed or they're considering a foreclosed property?
No, there's actually some advantages depending on who owned the property. And when I say who owned, if it was a Fannie Mae property or if it was an FHA-owned property, because there's some great advantages to those properties. For instance, Fannie Mae houses have a program called Home Path, where a borrower can get in for as little as $100 down, the same with an FHA. So the down payment requirements are greatly relaxed on that, and they don't need an appraisal oftentimes.
So, and also, I'm guessing because the housing market is better now, and of course more people are working, I imagine this might be a good market for first-time home buyers. Do there continue to be programs from a loan perspective for the first-time home buyer in this market?
FHA is a terrific value for first-time home buyers in that they only require 3.5% down, and a lot of the funds for the down payment can be a gift from a family member, so that the borrowers don't have to have all the funds themselves.
And Susan, I might mention the Kansas City Dream Home Program for Kansas City, Missouri properties, which is an excellent program for first-time home buyers. And you can go to the Kansas City, Missouri website to find out more information.
Well, that's good information. You know, on the selling side, during the recession, sellers were having to include a lot of perks, like, you know, we'll pay closing costs, we'll give you a decorating allowance. Mm-hmm. Have those kinds of perks evaporated with a hardening market nowadays?
I wouldn't say that they've evaporated. It depends on how long the property has been on the market, if it was priced right to begin with. But I would say that generally most buyers are going to ask for some sort of concession in the beginning just to see if they could get it, maybe a little bit towards closing costs or a home warranty. And, of course, after you go through the inspections, the buyer has the right to ask for specific repairs as well.
Now, in terms of the pace at which, how long is it taking for houses to sell now as compared to maybe a couple years ago?
That depends on the specific area that you happen to live in.
But just generally?
I would say generally 60 days.
Which is probably
sometimes
down.
Less. Sometimes, like I said, if you have multiple offers, your house can sell in a day. One of my colleagues listed a house for sale in Prairie Village on Tuesday and had 17 showings in one day.
Wow.
One day.
As compared to a couple of years ago, houses took longer to sell. How much longer?
Oh, they would take anywhere from 3, 6, 7, 8 months. Mm-hmm. And if you were looking at a distressed property, Mike could probably talk a little more about this. The short sales and foreclosures can tend to linger on the market a little bit longer, depending on the condition that they're in.
Now, Mike, I do have a question. Now that the market is heating up and probably there's more interest, there's more people buying homes, what does that mean in terms of getting loans approved, turnaround on loans and appraisals and things like that?
Well, right now, it takes this, we can close a loan start to finish on a purchase in approximately 3 weeks, sometimes a little bit quicker, depending on the type of loan that the buyer is wanting to do. If there's a doing a VA loan or if it's an FHA loan or just conventional. But typically, it's about 3 weeks start to finish. Appraisals are getting done very, very quickly. The lenders have all geared up for it. You know, when things slowed down, a lot of underwriters and a lot of banks laid off quite a few people. But now, with the influx of the market, they're starting to hire and train and retain a lot more people. So it's going a lot faster than it was.
And to kind of follow up on Mary's comment, short sales, foreclosures, are there any complications there in the whole getting a loan process?
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I know you mentioned before that sometimes there are advantages, but are there any unexpected glitches?
Not usually, because most of the properties are bank-owned and you know, which means Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA own them, so they want to get their money. And they typically don't put them on the market, and Mary can probably attest to that, until they're ready to sell them.
I talked to a buyer the other day who said, boy, these bank-owned properties, they're really not interested in negotiating too much, even, you know, when a home has obvious problems, and I think the banks think that, well, we're offering it for a lower price to compensate for that. What about that? Are they willing to negotiate on prices for the bank-owned properties? Mike?
That's something we don't deal with, and Mary could probably answer that more than I could.
So, Mary?
I think there's a little bit of negotiation room there, but you also have to think that the bank is already losing money on that property because it's in foreclosure. So banks are for-profit institutions. So like anything else, they want to make as much money as they possibly can. There's sometimes a little bit of wiggle room there, but it depends on how much the bank is owed and how much they want to get rid of the property.
So in terms of buyers these days, has that shifted since the recession in terms of buyers and sellers? I know during the recession, people weren't selling homes unless they absolutely had to, or they had been transferred by their company, or unfortunately they lost their job and felt like I better sell it rather than to lose it. What's changed about the face of the buyer these days, the buyer and the seller?
I think I'm seeing a few trends with buyers. I'm seeing a lot of baby boomers retiring or thinking about retirement.
Wanting to downsize.
Yes, so they want to downsize. Another interesting trend I see is you might have a baby boomer who's 60, 65 years old, still very fit and vibrant, and they have parents perhaps that are in their 80s. And so they're looking for a property with maybe two master suites on the main level so that if their parents have to come and live with them, or one parent does, they would be able to share the same home and take care of their ailing parents. So you have almost two retiring people in the same house. That's one trend that I'm seeing. And then I'm seeing a lot of people who realize, hey, I can buy a house for the same amount that I'm paying in rent, so why don't I build up some equity and purchase a house?
So today we're talking about real estate, buying and selling houses, and what seems to be like an improving market. And we're joined by realtor Mary Hutchison and Mike Cash from A1 Mortgage. Kansas City, is the housing market really improving? And tell us what your experience has been by calling 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. What kinds of trends? I know you said that there aren't a lot of new housing stock out there right now, but what kinds of trends are you expecting from builders to accommodate changing market needs and that sort of thing?
Well, there is actually quite a few new home communities because the builders have started building again. You just have to wait a few months for them to be finished. But the trends that we're seeing in new home construction are dedicated office space, first or second floor laundry. A lot of homeowners liked easy access to amenities such as a walking trail or a pool or something like that. And then finished basements are always popular as well. And as I said, two suites on the master floor or the ability to add on if you do have to have an elderly relative come and live with you.
Yes, because the boomers are in that sandwich generation,
yes.
Aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a caller right now, Michael from Overland Park. Welcome to Central Standard this morning. You had a question.
Hey. Yeah, sure did. Thank you. Yeah, I was preface it with an experience. We bought our first house maybe 4 years ago. Foreclosure was listed. On the day it was listed, we saw it. So did three other couples. We all put an offer on it, so we got into a bidding war. So we put in our second offer about $20,000 more than our first. We won. The contract was supposed to be house as is with no appliances, and this was a foreclosure Fannie house. When we got the paperwork to sign the purchase agreement, they had taken our original offer on the paperwork, so we got it for $20,000 less than our winning offer. And when we moved in, they were all brand new appliances. So you kind of just we kind of saw some significant inefficiencies with Fannie. I was just curious if you guys have heard any other similar experiences. Our guess was that they're just so disorganized and unable to unload these houses at the pace they want to, that they're just making mistakes left and right.
Huh, interesting experience and interesting question from Michael. What do you think about this?
I think he was a lucky guy. Not only did he get the house,
but
he got
no
new appliances. I've never experienced anything like that, but... I don't know. I would just say you were lucky there. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, that some of the government programs in a situation where there's a lot of demand, you know, I can imagine a situation where high demand means, you know, maybe a little less attention to detail, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, any comment on that question?
You know what? I've never, in all the ones that I've done, I've never had anything like that happen to any of my clients. So again, well, he was very lucky.
Now, in terms of things that can go wrong in the home buying and selling process, are you seeing any trends based on a heating up market right now?
As far as things that can go wrong, I would say that it kind of depends from deal to deal. Sometimes we have some issues with appraisals, and I don't know if Mike has experienced in that, and that perhaps the appraisal that comes in doesn't support the amount of the loan that the buyer has obtained for the house. And that happens in a heated market because people get very emotionally attached to a house that they want to purchase. So maybe they think, okay, I'll bid more than the house is maybe worth in the appraiser's eye. So we have had some issues with that. Mike, I don't know, have you experienced that?
We have. And, mm-hmm. And one of the things that's changed is the banks now choose the appraisers. And you have to remember, an appraisal is just an opinion. And we're finding out that if three appraisers walk through a particular property.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead and finish out real quickly.
Okay. Then there could be three different values placed on that house.
Well, that's our time for this segment about real estate in Kansas City. We want to thank our guest today, Kansas City Realtor Mary Hutchinson, and also thank you to you, Mike Cash, who's a senior loan officer at A1 Mortgage. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll shift our conversation to childhood obesity and what the new research tells us. Central Standard returns in just a moment.